Hello, welcome to another Cage Club Revisited. As we promised last time, this is 1993's Red Rock West. This is our 19th Cage Club Revisited, just me and Mike again here. We did Bangkok Dangerous last time, going 15 years earlier. So we had lunch, now we're 15 years in the past.
I'm ready to go.
All right, we are watching DVD today. It is a full screen, widescreen.
No, it's widescreen.
One on each side. No, but the one on each side, right?
Okay, yeah. One on each side.
One of those classic fancy DVDs.
Same with Bangkok Dangerous, so the widescreen was on side A. Nice enough.
Wonderful. So here we are, Red Rock West DVD. Play in 3, 2, 1, and play.
Okay.
Polygram.
All right. Entertainment.
Sit with my...
Propaganda Films production.
John Dahl.
This is nice.
What does he do?
Because there's not a lot of production logos ahead of it.
Top build, if you have that. Oh, I do have that. Cool.
John Dahl. Oh, of Rounders fame?
Oh. Oh, here we are on a road reminiscent of Never on Tuesday, which we have not done for this. I'm not looking forward to rewatching Never on Tuesday, just for that one scene, of course. But here we are, Cage struggling to get out of his car.
Oh man, he was sleeping in his car. He's going to do push-ups on the side of the road.
Sure is not. Laura Flynn Boyle, Twin Peaks connection, crossing that off. And Mike, I don't want to, I don't want to
visible tattoo.
You, but I'm already what?
Visible tattoo.
Ooh, do I have that?
God, well, I got it.
But I got three in a row already.
Nice.
Cage freaks out, woman is attacked, nudity, stands for something weird, war, gambling, laughs maniacally, school, tonal shift, montage, someone returns from another Cage film. Ooh.
It also reminds me of My Own Private Idaho's Road.
Helicopter overreaction, subtitles, extreme facial expression, Cage dies, red sports car, awkward sexy in New Orleans, billiards or bowling, magic mysticism. Do not think I'm going to win, unless we get nudity and an extreme facial expression, in which case I will win. Oh, shaves!
Oh, shaving! Nice. Look at that. Shaving in a water basin, too, probably with rainwater.
Do I have Cage shaves?
And shirtless, all in the...
That's nudity. Crossing it off. I got four in a row, Mike.
Hold on, I got nudity there.
If we get an extreme facial expression, I win.
Nudity and shirtless. I have both, so...
Do I have shirtless or do I have shaves?
I have Cage shaves.
I don't have either of those. Damn. All right. My entire bingo card rests on extreme facial expression.
He's got two visible tattoos. One's real, and the other is that Marine Corps one.
Oh, the one-arm push-ups. He did push-ups in Bangkok Dangerous. This is two movies in a row. So this
Working
one, he's
out.
Doing one-arm push-ups. This is when he's 29. He's my age in this movie.
Crazy.
I've never looked like him. In many ways. Can you turn the volume up a little bit?
Can.
We have it louder before. Or we have it not
changed
before?
In the back of the trunk here.
I do wish. I mean, we said it on the last episode. We've said it throughout Cage Club. I do wish Nicolas Cage returned to that Western genre because.
Yeah, I want him in a timely Western, like proper, like 1800s Western.
Instead, we just have him in modern day. Colorado, maybe?
Wyoming? And this is more of like a neo-noir, neo-western kind of merging, I feel. Which is great, which is cool.
Directed by John Dahl, you said, who directed Rounders?
That's what his IMDb said.
Alright.
And a bunch of other stuff, but it looks like he's been doing a lot of television lately.
Don't splash the pot.
Give me my Oreos.
I love that movie. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I might not still love it, but I think I love that movie.
You have figured out my tell. Now I play shit. Is that what Braga? Is that a name? Braga? I don't know. Braga? Oh, Fast and Furious. There's a Braga in that,
right? Yeah, there is.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Are
we getting subtitles here?
No,
why are my subtitles not working?
There we go. This reminds me, again, second movie in a row, getting a Logan Lucky shout-out, in a trailer early on in the movie, except this time he's getting a job as opposed to losing a job. When's that episode of Cinemakers coming out? I think next... Oh, no, this is... So this episode comes out April 12th, so I think the Logan Lucky episode should come out in a week or two, I think. I want to say. So check that out on Cinemakers, where Mike and I, along with Tobin Addington, was on a bunch of regular Cage Clubs, no revisiteds, because he's all the way out in Montana. Near Red Rock, I guess.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
His name's
Michael in this? Hey, that's my name.
Oh, he was Joe in the last one. He's Michael in this one.
Hey, perfect. Well, you know, we're on a roll.
But, we're going through all Soderbergh's movies, and so we're just about caught up as this comes out. So go check out Cinemakers, because Steven Soderbergh, believe it or not, has made a ton of good movies.
Since this movie used to come on HBO or late night cable a lot when I was in high school, and I would never watch it, but it's one of my best friend's favorite movies at the time, so I don't think he's listening, but shout out to Aldo, because this is his favorite movie.
Aldo in married high school. A girl named Rain?
That's right, he did marry a girl named Rain, and they are now Aldo Rain, which is a character from Inglourious Basterds.
MPI.
Yeah, he would go on, and he's like, Mike, did you watch Red Rock West last night? And I was like, oh, I missed it again. And he's like, dude, what is wrong with you? It's on so much. Why haven't you seen it yet? I was like,
Back when the TV Guide channel was a thing, back when TV Guides were still a thing.
Yep. Used to get TV Guide.
Oh, that's an extreme gesture. It's not an extreme facial expression, though. I'm not going to give him that. Cage Freaks out. Oh, there we go.
There
Bingo.
Go.
Timestamp me, please.
What, you're done already?
Yep.
Damn, 6 minutes.
I have nudity. He was topless. Top billed in the credits. Free space. Facial expression. Twin Peaks connection. Laura Flynn Boyle.
Nice. Good job. I'm not going to win, but there's no way.
I just got Cage Freaks out. I'm still going to keep playing. Overreaction, not really, because he just did, you know, he thought he had a job, didn't actually have a job. Let's see, what else is there? Exasperated Broken Man, not yet. I feel like he might get there. Rest of it, not sure. It's 2 games in a row that I won. I don't usually win these bingo games either.
Look at that old $5 bill. He looks so much older than... he definitely looks like he's in his mid-30s.
Because if this came out in 93, it was probably shot in 92, which means he was 28. So,
wow.
I'm 2 years older than him here, and,
wild.
It's not just the outfit, it's, the whole... It's everything, you know?
Yeah, it's his whole presence.
It's the weight of the world weighing on him. Because we're 12 years into his career now.
I really don't remember much of this movie. I remember not much actually really happening. Does he try and get... Someone tries to set him up. I know we get Dennis Hopper at one point. Which, I guess that's a Lynch connection, not exactly a Twin Peaks connection.
Is Dennis Hopper... Was he in another Cage movie with him?
No, I'm thinking of River's Edge, which was Keanu. Mm.
Keanu
almost. Was in two, because also Speed... There's another Keanu movie.
True. Pop quiz, hot shot.
What two movies were Dennis Hopper and Keanu Reeves in together? Cage is looking for work. His hand in his hip pocket.
I would hire him. He could be like a denim model. He's wearing a Canadian tuxedo right now.
I thought it was from the Jay Leno collection.
Oh. Is Jay Leno Canadian or no?
No, but he's decked out in denim.
He's always in denim and denim. Another Keanu connection, Jay Leno's garage.
That's right.
Man, what
Keanu
is going on here?
Motorcycles.
You know, we were talking... So, this is a roundabout way of going... I feel like there's going to be a lot of tangents in this movie because... Slower movie, again.
Mm-hmm.
2 movies in a row. That's why we split up with lunch because Bangkok Danger's a little bit slower. This a little bit slower. We found out just recently, as we're recording this, about a month ago as you're listening to this, that there's another Charlize Theron podcast called Theronation.
Oh, that's right, yes.
They tweeted at us and they said something like, so this is awkward, hashtag twinsies. And I was like, the more the merrier. And I was like, well, we've done a lot of shows, here's what we've done. And they looked at the list and they were like, oh, weird, we're going to do Keanu next. And I was saying to you at the Joe 2... I was like, I kind of want to tell them, don't do Keanu. Keanu is
there's some
rough.
It's rough.
And that's when Joe was saying that, he's like, we got lucky with Zeph, with Zac Efron, because he, he was in a couple of bad movies, but for the most part, they were good. And yeah. I was like, same thing with Cage. Like, Cage, up until the VOD era, you know, 65 movies, there, like, I think there's, like, three that you and I don't like, but we like at least 60 of them.
I know, it's kind of crazy. But
and then the same thing with Shia, too. Like, Shia was in, like, movies that, you know, like, blockbusters that we don't love, like, you know, Transformers sequels and, like,
iRobot. He had a good average, though, yeah.
But most of what, like, most of the hidden stuff is good. It's like, Keanu killed us, Charlize is not treating us very well.
She's hurting me so bad right now, Joey. What did I ever do? That's funny. It's like, I really feel like these past few Charlize movies have like, really been pushing me. It's not, it's just like, I never knew, like, what bad movie she's been in. And I mean, like, look, some of us like some of them better than others and everything, you know, but there's no denying that they're bad movies. And it's, look, I like Children of the Corn 3 Urban Harvest, but it's a shit movie, you know, like, it's just, if I wish I knew that she was in better, like, better or worse movies before we started. There's just no way to prepare.
I don't remember why I was doing it, but before we started, I clicked on every movie I didn't know, just look at their IMDb page. And IMDb now prominently features their Metacritic score.
Uh-huh.
And so many of her movies had either the red or the yellow box. Oh. Either, like, bad or okay.
Yeah.
Like, so many of them.
And that's
like,
true. Like, I mean, now her movies are incredible. Like, she's making, you know, Mad Max and Prometheus and, you know, things I want to see and things that I like.
It is really sort of getting through the vegetables to get to the modern day and just, like, now that we're able to watch every Charlize movie that comes out, like,
smoking.
She's probably going to be, you know, good from here on out, but, like, man.
And she's always good. I will, you know, reiterate, every time we talk about how bad some of her movies are, she is never the problem, you know? If anything, like, she is helping out, you know, those, like, what was the one with Kevin Bacon? Where, like, they were
Trapped.
Actually, yeah, Trapped, like, that movie. Really no saving that movie, but, like, they're okay about it. She's okay in it, but the movie is terrible.
There's a Twitter account, Keanu Doing Things.
Oh, yeah, I just recently been turned on to that.
And I retweeted something that they did today. It was, like, four pictures of Keanu in the sun, and the first picture is him, like, squinting, and then all of a sudden he just starts sunbathing. And in one of them, he looks like Robert Downey Jr., and I was like, you know, I've been wanting to sort of do, like, maybe do a Robert Downey Jr. podcast, but, like, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I should just, like, watch the movies that I want to watch.
Just watch Robert Downey Jr. films.
You know. That's what I think is going to work well for Too Fast, Too Forever when we get to the point where we're cutting in
where you're
stuff,
watching other movies, which
have, like,
I sent you a nice
months,
email about.
Because we could have a themed month where it's like, okay, Joe, each of us are going to pick, like, a movie that stars The Rock that we want to see. So maybe I'll do the rundown. Or maybe, like, both pick a Vin Diesel movie or whatever. Just, like, instead of going through and just, like, watching bad movie after bad movie, just watch a movie.
Yeah.
And talk about it.
Remember when we were watching Reindeer Games and tried to justify it by saying, like, they thought they were doing what Red Rock West does really well? It's like that wrong man assumed identity stuff. Oof, what were... kind of... That was some... I think we were reaching.
Oh, we definitely reaching. But I've also seen Reindeer Games now twice in my life, which is probably two times too many. Mm-hmm. But
there's LFB, Laura Flynn Boyle.
Yep. Another, you know, Charlize in action there, introduced to us via photograph.
Oh, okay.
There's also photos of Charlize, I think, in Waking Up in Reno. They're looking at pictures. I don't think we talked about that because we talked about other things on that episode. But there's pictures of Charlize in there, too. Like, she's not dead and topless, or fake dead and topless, like she was in 2 Days in the Valley. But, like, it's... I always notice now, I think because it was so, like, egregious and in our face, like, the first time we see her in 2 Days in the Valley,
mm-hmm.
her quote-unquote breakout role, we see her boobs and bloodied in a photo, and I'm like, oh, I guess this is a way you can introduce characters. So now I'm looking, and, you know, they have Laura Flynn Boyle here. So now I'm in my brain, whenever there's pictures in a movie that aren't just, like, providing background, like, oh, look, there's him with family,
you know,
so you get a sense of him.
Hmm.
It's, like, actually introducing, like, another character through photos or whatever.
In my one student film, Yesterday Man, which is now almost 10 years old, Jesus Christ, so I introduced a character through a photograph.
There you
so
go.
They had the protagonist is digging through a box of stuff and finds a picture of the girl that he was involved with, and then we see the picture, and then we cut to the girl doing
her thing. maybe you were like in your brain, hey, there's a movie from about 12 years ago, Chudians in the Valley, which I think I really like. They did that.
And I'm not going to like it in another 10 years or so. Yeah, that's remarkable. Like, I think movies are a great way to gauge how much you've changed as a person. Like, the way you think about things and the way you perceive life and what you've, you know, what you think is important. Is that, that is not Patrick Swayze, but that's...
I was literally just thinking that looks like Patrick Swayze.
But yeah, I think movies are a really great way to gauge how, like, you've changed. Like, if you rewatch something that you used to like or didn't like, and then now you like it or don't, like... get an idea that this guy reminds me of a country western guy, like the Reiki Breaky Heart or something.
Oh, Billy Ray Cyrus?
Is that who he was?
Miley's dad.
Oh, wow. Yeah, how about that? No wonder she's like kind of nutso, because she had to grow up listening to Achy Breaky Heart every day.
I mean, like, I say that, like, Brazil is my least favorite movie of all time, but like, if I rewatch it, I'd probably like it. Like,
I don't think you'll hate it. I mean, it won't be your least favorite movie. That's a tough film. Like, I was always a big science fiction fan, so that was, like, the first real challenging movie I watched as, a young adult, I guess, and so I've always been trying to decode it, I guess, my whole life, but...
Cage Eats? You have Cage Eats?
I don't. I've got a rough card. Voiceover, subtitles, singing, adaptation, an attractive woman finds Cage irresistible.
Which I think is probably gonna happen.
Just by the way, he's eating those nuts. Cage laughs maniacally, Elvis or the Beatles, dancing, school, gambling, bad accent, Cage in jail, I think we get that, flashback, airplane, musical instrument, we'll get that, a woman is attacked, I think we get that, red sports car, and montage.
Whew.
I know, my card is empty. Laura Flynn Boyle is one of those actresses, like, we see, what was her name, Bridget Fonda, like, I feel like she just either retired or dropped off the face of the earth, or just stopped doing, or for whatever reason, I wish there's more of her work out there.
She was in a show called Huff, which was Anton Yelchin, the first thing I saw him in.
Huh.
It was Hank Azaria married to Paget Brewster, and Hank Azaria plays this guy, Huff, Dr. Huffstadt, something, and in the first episode, he's a psychiatrist or psychologist, in the first episode, a kid who came out to his parents as gay after being told to do that, like, by Hank Azaria's like, you know, I think you should do this. It goes so poorly that the kid goes to his office and kills himself.
Oh, yikes.
And so it's sort of about the fallout of that and, like, how that affects the marriage and everything. And, like, it was this whole, like, dark, dark show. It only lasted 2 years. Then it got canceled. But, like, that's where I saw Anton Yelchin the first time. It might have been the first time I saw Hank Azaria, really. Paget Brewster. But Laura Flynn Boyle plays one of his patients in that. And she plays this, like, sort of, like, bipolar, like, real nut job. And I remember, like, one episode, she, like, attacks Paget Brewster with a knife.
Ooh, okay.
So... that was, like, also 10 or 12 years ago. Like, that's not recent.
Yeah, like, she was in a Man in Black movie, like, around that time, too. I think she's in the second one. She was on a show... she did an arc on this show.
Hold on. Sorry to interrupt. He just said, what do you have in mind? And the subtitle said, what? So, subtitle, not perfect, just sort of summarizing it. You said she was on a show. What show?
She was on some show. It was James Caan, and it took place in Vegas. And she ended up, like, it was like a
casino.
No. It was like a casino show. It was like, it was a weird show. I used to watch it a little bit, but, like, it looks like he's taking a leak.
Yeah. Stands. But, well, it also looks like he's taking a leak, but just, like, his gesturing, his posturing, it's just like.
James Caan was running a casino, and then she took over the casino for, like, a year or something like that.
Yeah.
And, like, her character is so frail and sort of, like, small and stuff. There was an episode where she was on the roof of the casino and a large gust of wind blew her off the roof and her character died that way.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, I think UPS just dropped off some more Elvis movies.
There you go. Again, as we've teased on past Cage Club's Revisited, later this year after we finish Charlize... well, no, maybe not later this year. We have to figure out the timing because it's going to be finish Charlize, then do a Cinemaker, then... Viva Pod Vegas. To the sheriff, dear Mr. Police.
Oh, is he writing this letter to...
Cage is the snowman.
No, he's writing it to Walter Goggins from The Hateful Eight. I am the new sheriff of Red Rock. That was his whole thing in the... when we get to Red Rock, I'll make sure you hang. And all that. Rebel the rebel rousers, whatever.
I do like that this movie in the first probably 15 minutes or whatever, 15, 20 minutes, really pulls a hard left turn. The Cage gets hired to kill Laughlin Boyle, and then is like, I have a better idea. Let's split this money and like get back at your husband or whatever.
That's the drifter mentality.
He's playing both sides against the middle.
I have a feeling that like as a drifter, he knows all the drifter tricks, like that people are going to try and take advantage of him, and when they do, you should flip it on them, flip it back.
Yep.
But he doesn't expect the one wild card variable that he probably should.
You know, I don't think we have a lot of movies where Cage actually writes something. I mean, we don't know that it's necessarily him. I'm assuming it's him, but
his handwriting.
That's maybe. A Cage handwriting. We should, like, that should be a font for something.
Cage font?
Cage font.
Excuse me.
The official Cage Club font is Prosto Sans.
Oh, is this where he goes back? This is sort of like a, you can't leave the town scene where, what was that? What was the other one where he had the two brothers and it was Christmas and they were...
Trapped in Paradise.
Yeah, they were trapped in paradise. And
yeah, this is the one that he just, like, no matter what happens, he always gets, like, pulled back in the town. Like, he wants to just be able to, like, he thinks he's doing a good job, like, you know...
It's almost like a sci-fi movie. Like, you can't leave this place.
Right. It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But, like, you know, he tried to do a good thing. He was hired by a guy to kill his wife. Didn't do it. Told the police on him. Now, trying to get away...
Oh, hit some guy with his car. I don't remember much of this. It is now a dark and stormy night, though.
Cage. I'm going to say Cage is an exasperated broken man, because this is not going well for him. Right here.
I like the jacket. Like, it's not just denim, but it's got that collar.
Yeah.
Whatever that collar is. Corduroy collar? I don't know. Maybe it's... What kind of material would you think that is?
I don't know. I was just going to sing Madonna's Material Girl, though. I feel like that didn't necessarily fit into the flow of what we're talking about, though.
Do you think, though, that maybe...
It's a boyfriend material?
Yeah? You think that he has a girl that likes to feel that jacket?
You know, I just watched, as we talked about in the last episode, I just watched Forgetting Sarah Marshall last night, and... There's, like, that joke, I guess, that she's, like, a terrible gift giver, and, like, she buys Russell Brand that Tommy Bahama shirt, and she buys...
Oh, I never picked up on that.
Oh, there's, like, a whole, like, thing, like, because he's, like, she's, like, I thought you were going to buy the shirt, or you're going to wear the shirt that I bought you. He's, like, oh, no, I love that, but I'm going to wear this. Then she puts it on, or he puts it on, and she, like, has this flashback to all these gifts that she's bought Jason Segel, like, a terrible hat when he goes to the bar.
Yeah.
And she's, like, the bartender's, like, sweet hat. He's, like, oh, cool, thanks, my girlfriend bought it for me. She's, like, I'm fucking with you, like, and then she buys him, like, a man purse, and she buys him, like, a terrible shirt and everything, so she's, like, a terrible gift giver or whatever. So I guess in this movie, if Laughlin Boyle, his girlfriend, if boyfriend material, roundabout way to get back to this, gave him that jacket, good gift, because dope jacket.
There you go.
Man, it took a fucking long time to get there, I can tell you that much.
That guy looks like Oliver Stone. But I bet he's a real doctor, because he does not seem like an actor to me for some reason.
You know what I really want to watch now that also takes place partly in the hospital? Planet Terror.
Oh, I love that.
Dr. Block and Dr. Mrs. Block.
Thank you very much, Dr. Block.
God, I love Grindhouse.
So good. It's Cherry.
Man, poor Cherry. Like, Rose McGowan.
Cherry
has
Darling.
Had,
oh, you mean the real... McGowan in real life. Like, I can't even keep up. I've been trying to, like, what's going on? Like, I don't know. I'm trying to keep up, Joey. I'm trying. Just, I don't know.
Because her personality
from week to week.
It's so extreme, but, like, she's been, like...
She's an activist, you know? Like, yes. That's okay. I can understand that. But I don't know from week to week if people are with her or against her. Like, she seems so radical, I guess. That's the main thing. And, like, that's fine.
Do you have Cage accent? Because he's sort of talking in an accent.
Yeah, but I have bad accent. Would you call that a bad accent?
No, I think it's actually pretty...
It's kind
not
of...
Not great, but it's appropriate.
I can't believe I just cost myself a mark on bingo by being like, no, it's an accent, but, you know, it's Cage, so it's a good one.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Getting back to Grindhouse real quick, I am so disappointed that they never made any more...
Like
Grindhouse
Women or Don't? Or...
Yeah, like, we got into that about Werewolf Women, and definitely, like, Thanksgiving, Eli Roth totally should have... He could still make that movie. And, like, you know, he made that Death Wish recently with Bruce Willis. Like, they should have made that a 70s grindhouse Death Wish, not like a, you know, 2018 comment on gun control or whatever it is. I don't even know what it is.
Light meat, dark meat, all be carved. All be served, all be carved.
If you need to ever watch any Death Wish, just watch part three with Bill from Bill and Ted. Alex Winter's in it. So
I know that past Keanu Club and Cage Club guest Mike Flynn loves the Death Wish movies.
I stopped at three because I was like, they gotta stop it. Like, three is just the ultimate.
Three is the magic number.
Oh, that too. We'll get to it. I also think it's a canon film at that point when they get to part three.
I still gotta see Electric Boogaloo.
That documentary? Yeah, it's really... Because I was like, you don't really need to watch Breakin'.
No, I'm not gonna watch Breakin' 2.
I saw those as when I was a little kid, you know? Like, I'm not gonna rewatch those as an adult or anything.
Is that about breakdancing?
Pretty much, yeah. Just about breakdance crews. And I remember when I was like 5 or 6, like the neighborhood kids would like flatten cardboard and try and do break moves and stuff, but no one had any clue what they were doing. But Breakin' was just on TV, so, you know.
It did give us the best subtitle in movie history, though. Electric Boogaloo is...
Oh, yeah. It's still being used as a subtitle joke.
Or
to this day.
It's that and the Revenge of Curly's Gold.
That's yes, yeah. Yeah.
Classic subtitle joke.
What are some other... Nerds in Paradise is a good one for nerds, too.
The New Batch.
The New Batch is great. That's a great one. Judgment Day, obviously, for T2.
But that's almost like... That's not a... I mean, that is a subtitle, but it's so... Like, it's like...
But the first one is all about, you know, stopping just, like, Judgment Day is going to happen and shit. So, thematically, it's good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you got to go with the best sequel of all time. Great... All right. Godfather Part 2. I mean, Part 2 is... You can't. I'm going to say that's an overreaction, because it's not Cage overreaction. It's just...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Unless it's... Look, they're trying to leave again. Unless it says Cage.
Yep. We actually haven't said on this. If you want to play Cage Club Bingo, either with this movie or with any movie, you can go to cageclub.me and click on any Cage Club Revisited post, and in there is a link to the Excel sheet. It also explains how to actually bingo, like how to... easily randomize, shuffleize, print, so on and so forth.
I really feel like we've stumbled on to like something I'm really happy about, which is just like we've created a party game almost. Like we have this is like a watch along.
I haven't shown you. I made a drinking game for me and Joe's podcasts.
Wait, for all of them? Like
for all four? Yeah, it's because they're all generic, and you're actually on there.
Oh no! Awesome! I'm a drink. I'm a drinkable reason to drink.
You are a drinkable. So
I'm a reason to drink. Wait, I'm another reason to drink.
And at the bottom we have cageclub.me. Please drink responsibly with a little asterisk, and then underneath it says, AKA not like Joe too. Like
yes,
but it's. Anytime we beg for emails, anytime we reference Jess Montez, anytime we reference resident historian Mike Lindsay, anytime I ask for Joe's opinion and completely dismiss it, anytime I just completely miss one of his jokes, anytime compliments himself, like, oh, that was a really good guess, like, I was so close. Like, we have, like, 13 things, we're gonna have 16 or whatever. Ooh. Nice kick from Kate.
Yeah, this is a nice little fight, car fight.
But yeah, I don't know if it's on this computer or if it's on my home computer or both.
Okay, keep the games coming. But, like, this is cool, though. I was thinking when we did that thing for the Cage-O-Rama, when we recorded a little something, and after that, I was like, oh, that's cool, because, like, people don't need to play this with us while listening along. Like, this is something they could do on their own to any Cage movie at any time for any reason. And
what's also cool is that, like, I can see the downloads, and, like, people, like, we get, like, dozens of these downloads a month. Like,
oh,
people,
good.
I don't know who, because nobody's telling us. Email mailbag@cageclub.me.
We got to it. Drink.
But here, this is what it is. There's going to be another row.
Oh, cool. I like the. I like how it's blocked out.
You want to read off the... So if you don't know... Joe 2, who I do the Zack Attack, Magic Mike's Boyfriend Material, and Too Fast You've Ever podcast with... sort of it's just like we kind of have in terms of like the way my podcast, we have two main tracks. There's ones I do with Mike and there's the ones I do with Joe. So the ones I do with Joe, there's things that we, I guess, return to. I mean, we could do the same thing for us, but you know, in terms of Joe, like there's a history between Joe 2 and alcoholism.
Yeah, these are Joe 2-isms too. Yes. Yeah.
So you want to read off the 12
okay.
things?
Yeah, and that's funny. It's going to be 12 steps.
It's actually really good.
And this one I immediately recognized. Joe 2 says, go ahead.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And I cut out so many of those, too, in the editing process.
Dude, I recognize this, too. Joe 2 calls an actor that guy from, which I part of my letter this month is an angry letter in response.
Oh, no. We were joking. I read that. We were joking. I don't know if it came across that way, but
no, it did not.
He knows who Mark Allen.
It did not come across as a joke.
I don't know. I got to find out, but yes.
No, read it like I wrote it.
I will. No, I'm definitely going to read it like you wrote it.
Joe 2 mentions his local friends. Okay, I've watched it twice. Joe misses one of Joe 2's jokes. Yep, I could attest for that. Joe 2 calls Joey out for ignoring his jokes.
Yep.
Dude, that was a good joke, and you missed it.
No. Yep.
Joe 2 mentions barbecue beer or coolers. It's like almost every 10 minutes.
Yep.
Either Joe references me, Mike Manzi. Cool, I'm on there. Joey asks for Joe 2's opinion, then dismisses it.
I'm like, because basically what happens is like, I'm like, what do you think we should do with this? And then he'll like give his opinion, and I'd be like, no, I think we should do it like this. Just like, but like, it doesn't. I don't say it that way to be like rude.
No,
about
you don't
it.
Know you're not going to want
but
his opinion.
But then I listen back. I'm like, oh god, like this just sound like an asshole.
Is this Enter Dennis Hopper? It's kind of funny how Cage ran over someone, and here he almost got run over.
Yeah.
Joey mentions his fantasy baseball league. Yeah.
Yep.
Either Joe references Jess Montez.
Yep.
Super fan Jess Montez.
Yep.
Either Joe references another podcast, or either Joe begs for emails.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Pretty solid, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, having only listened to two of the Boyfriend materials, but all of the Too Fast, and I think I've listened to most of the...
most of the Zach Attacks? Zach's Attack?
Yeah, the Zach's Attack. I've listened to almost all of those by now, but I don't think I hit any of your magic mics yet, but...
well, they're from all, what I heard, all the same podcast.
No, yeah, but from what I heard, like, you're going to be wasted if you listen to any of that. You will not be able to walk... by the end of one of their shows.
Well, it was inspired by Delish, which I think is like a BuzzFeed. No, BuzzFeed has Tasty. I don't know what Delish is. But it's like a Facebook thing that's like recipes and whatever. And I follow them on Instagram. And then the weekend of the Oscars, they had an Oscars drinking game. They had like take a sip, finish your drink, or like finish a bottle.
Oh.
And it was, you know, these different things. But like, I don't want to do that here. It's just like, just drink when this happens.
Yeah. Take a drink.
Take a drink when, you know, we say Jess Montez. But yeah, like, whenever, like, talking about another podcast, like, whether it's one of ours or, like, another one, be like, oh, if you might not know, we have a Zach, like, of course they know we have a Zac Efron podcast, because, like, who's listening to this that didn't listen to Zac Attack?
But it's also, like, everyone you mention. It's not, you know.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's like, because I talk about Mark Maron's podcast a lot. I talk about our other podcast a lot. I talk about other shows on the network. Like, just, like, drink.
Responsibly.
I not like Joe 2.
Joe 2 drinks like those guys in Waking Up in Reno. He belongs in that car with their, what, how many beers did Patrick Swayze have? I'm only on my 1,000.
No, he said 140.
Okay, I'm on my 140th beer. I can't remember.
In the movie, they casually have cases of Pabst delivered to their hotel
they
room.
They bribed cops with cases of Pabst.
I guess the movie must have been sponsored by Pabst.
Oh, maybe that's it. I know I should have had a case of Pabst before I watched that. Maybe that's the way to do it.
And I do want to say, because I don't want to besmirch Joe 2 too much. He does drink a ton, but he never... I've never seen him do it, like, drink and then do anything, like, even remotely dangerously, so...
Oh, yeah.
He drinks a lot, but he doesn't drink, like...
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a wild guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, he, as crazy as he sounds, I don't see him, like, doing anything that irresponsible. Because he's a scientist, you know? I mean...
Yep. They're back in Red Rock.
Just can't get out of that damn place. Also, every time I remember that Joe's like an actual scientist in a lab, like during the day, like, you know, Contagion, Dimitri Martin style, like, well, maybe not exactly like that, but that's how I picture him.
Yeah, like, not only is he like a scientist in a lab, like, he like runs shit too. Like, it's just that you like hear him talk about like Zac Efron sending dick pics on Twitter or whatever. Just like, oh right, like, you know.
Now, Dennis Hopper's accent, on the other hand.
Yeah, you can cross over that. That's fine.
So, if you're... Okay, so here's something that I've just been sort of aware of. You know what a dub track is? So, it's not an overdub, but it's like a... It's like a dub. Let me see how I can.
Is it like for like foreign language where like they do the movie audio and they just put in like English language?
Yeah, I guess they don't do like a true like translation.
Oh, it's different. Okay.
It's whatever the, like, audio... I don't know exactly. I was trying to... I was listening to...
Well, there's, like... Because most movies, you either, like, watch them subbed or dubbed, like...
Okay, so I was listening to a review of High Tension. Have you ever seen... You've seen High Tension? So there's, like, there's a... The R-rated version, which is... The subtitles are the dub track, I guess. And then there's the original French version, which are subtitles. So I don't know. I'm trying to figure out if you've heard anything about that. Or what
I think generally it's either like, you know, if you watch a foreign language movie, either watch the subtitle where they're speaking in the original language and you're reading it, or dub just means that like it's just like a regular English dub. Like it just...
Good.
If there's a third thing, I don't know about that.
Oh, you know what I think it is? You know how like with the Miyazaki movies, there's the original Japanese translation subtitles, then there's the subtitles to the dub track, like the American voiceover track. So maybe that's it. I don't know. It just... I was just wondering if you had ever heard of it, because I only heard of it yesterday.
Because if you're subtitling, like, an English track, then it's more like closed captioning. It's like, it's different, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it might mean.
But yeah, the Miyazaki ones are all weird, because, like, there's apparently, like, the original versions that, like, purists love, but, like, that's not what's available
before.
Yeah,
the pre-Disney dubs, which, yeah, I've never heard. I've only listened to the Shia, the Nausicaa Valley of the Wind. That's the only Miyazaki movie I've heard the English track of.
That movie wasn't great.
You don't like Nausicaa?
I thought it was fine.
I love Nausicaa.
My my friend, his daughter, has recently become obsessed with Totoro.
Oh, yeah, I could understand that.
Because she's like 4 or 5, I think.
Great design, but also like just such a crazy movie for kids.
Because I shared Totoro. Like, I'm like, hey, you check this out or whatever. And like, he just put it on for her. And now, like,
every
day. She watches it every day. Like, I just, you know. I'm like, oh, it's Totoro O'Clock. Like, you know.
Time to get on the cat bus. It's great because kids, I feel like that movie, like there's a lot of really like what could be taken as scary, freaky stuff happening, but for a child, like I don't feel like it's more of like an Alice in Wonderland thing. Yeah, you think he probably really hit that light bulb out. Oh, this is awesome. This is when he sneaks out. It's a nice little touch with the cowboy on the door there for the whole Western theme. It's where he, like, puts the ladder down, I think, and, like, jumps on the truck. This just seemed like a real Western kind of escape moment. Hopper is the man
in black. Is he on the roof?
Yeah, he's on the roof, and then he's going to jump on the truck, and it's almost like getting on a stagecoach or something.
Yeah.
And then the guy stops the truck, and he's like, I've been on your truck.
I like this movie a lot. This also feels kind of like a David Lynch movie a little bit.
It has that eeriness going on.
Plus the Dennis Hopper and the Larfland Boyle and the Cage connections.
But it's like they're out in the middle of nowhere. You know, like nobody in the world is a privy to anything that's going on in this town
And it feels like in this world there are no rules or laws. Like there is, you know, the sheriff or whatever, but like...
Yeah, well, especially that whole thing that he literally, like... just can't leave town. Like, no matter, like, he's tried 3 times already and he just can't get out of this. That's a very Lynch thing.
Yep. On the way up here, I was listening to the How Did This Get Made episode for Ladybugs, and they were saying that there's like a shot in that movie that basically is just like a David Lynch shot. Like, it just, it's like, I'm sure there's a lot of people who do what he does, but like, he just does it the best. You know what I mean? And like, he's the definition for like when there's something that like would mostly probably seem normal but also kind of makes you want to like die a little bit on the inside because it's so like weird and uncomfortable. Like,
so what shot in Ladybugs?
I think it was like a low shot, like a low angle shot of like somebody in front of like electric wires or something.
All I know is I got a lot of balls.
Ugh.
What was that one time where I remember, because I listened to that episode too and they reminded me of this line, and I remember watching the movie thinking the same thing, where, like, Rodney doesn't even, like, reply to or make a joke or anything, where he's just like, I'm tired. Like, it's not a joke, it's like he's just tired.
Oh, yeah, no, they talk about it a lot. Like, a lot of the movie feels like, they're like, all right, Rodney, we're going to do that. And he's like, oh, I'm tired. We got the one shot, we're moving on. I'm sitting on the couch now.
And then that kid,
Jonathan Brandis killed himself.
Yeah, but he did a movie with Chuck Norris, Sidekicks, I think it was, where he learns, like, karate. It's almost like a Karate Kid ripoff kind of thing. And he was also on the original The Flash TV show with John Wesley Shipp. Played sort of like a runaway that The Flash took in. Yeah, that was another kid who I was like, oh, why hasn't he made more movies and stuff? And then, like, you know, I only knew about, like, 5 or 6 years ago that, like, he took himself out.
Yeah, Forever 27 Club, man. I didn't know that either. Like, I was, again...
Because you never know. Some people just retire. Some people can't get work.
Yeah. I was trying to read. Like, they don't know. Like, he didn't leave a note or anything, but they said that there was apparently a...
Holy shit. This guy driving the truck... was in a movie we recently did. Older. Oh, man, it's killing me. Oh, he's the warden in Logan Lucky.
Is he?
Dude, I'm...
Oh, dude.
I'm sorry to interrupt,
no.
But...
All we were talking about was Jonathan Brandis killing himself.
Yeah, I know. I really need to change the subject. You can tell his accent's real.
It's Dwight Yoakam. Oh, it's Dwight Yoakam.
Okay, no wonder.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of things.
Isn't he also like a country music star? No wonder. Okay.
That's
so funny.
Burns.
He's so great at now. We don't have fires here in this penitentiary.
He was in Crank High Voltage. He was in the first.
That's
Crank.
Right. He's Crank's lawyer, right? Crank's lawyer.
He's in Panic Room. Oh, yeah, he's one of the guys. He's the other. He's the third. There's Jared Leto. There's
Ghost
Forest Whitaker.
Yeah,
and then there's... They're the three, burners.
He's actually quite a good actor. I wonder if his music's any good. I don't know why. I'm probably sure I know some of his songs, but just don't know that that's him.
Let's see, what's used in a lot of... Let's go back in time a little bit. Honky Tonk Man.
I mean...
Guitars, Cadillacs apparently is another one.
I'm going to have to hear it. I don't know.
He's got a song in this, A Thousand Miles From Nowhere. He wrote and performed it for this. Got a song in D2. Got a song called Doing What I Did in Showgirls.
I like that.
It's also in The Negotiator. Huh. Oh, shit! He's got a song, A Thousand Miles From Nowhere, which is from this movie, also in Keanu Club Connection, Me and Will.
Oh, weird.
Right?
Me and Will.
You
Jesus.
Remember that one? I did not watch that movie.
Oh, wait, why am I...
That was the one that we did, the dog star, where he's on stage with the two girls.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Do not watch that movie. Watch the one with Naomi Watts, though. I keep thinking of that movie so much.
Oh, she's really pretty on the cover. It's a girl's name.
It's like the same thing, too. Like, they go see dog star play, and that's why Keanu's in the movie.
Oh, Dwight Yoakam apparently performed Santa Claus is Back in Town in Iron Man 3.
Oh, cool. All
right.
Boyle.
Naomi Watts. It was from 2005. What was that movie called? Ellie Parker.
That's it. Yeah. Really like it.
A hilarious comic portrait of a young woman's struggle for integrity, happiness, and a Hollywood acting career.
Everything but the hilarious. Like, I wouldn't say it's a comedy, but it's really good, like, Dogma-esque, like, mumblecore-y type of shot on DV movie. And it's all Naomi.
Love it.
She's great. She's just a struggling actress. It's a couple of auditions.
You talking about Janie E?
No, it was before Janie E.
I know, but it's the same. That's
wow.
Janie E, though, right?
Yeah, that's right. It is Janie E.
And also, whatever her name is in Mulholland.
Does she have a name?
Betty?
Betty,
well,
yeah.
Well, she's two. She's two people.
She's both.
Spoilers, I guess, for Mulholland Drive, maybe.
Wow. I wish someone spoiled a little bit of it for me the first time I watched it. I was just like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't know what was happening, but I knew it was scaring the hell out of me.
There is no band. No, I banda.
Silencio.
People were asking me last night, because I was, you know, as I'm rewatching these comedies.
Yeah.
That I missed. I was talking about Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And my one friend, both Sarah Marshall and Step Brothers are probably in his top five movies of all time.
No. What?
And I can
he's seen six movies.
He's, yeah. He doesn't watch a lot of movies, but he loves those two movies. And then people were like, my friends in my fantasy baseball league were like, well, what are your favorite? Like, he's like, because they talk about, obviously they know that I see so many movies and whatever. He's like, they're like, I don't know if we know your favorite movie. So I sent like a screenshot of my top 20 from Letterboxd. And there's so many in there that like, I really, really love that I just want to watch again. I just haven't, like, you know.
I've been rewatching so much this year. I'm so happy.
Scott Pilgrim, I haven't seen like in years. That's on my, I mean, according to my list, it's in my top 20. Who knows? But like, Mulholland Drive is on my top 5 or 6 or something. And Out of Sight's in my top 20.
Okay.
Which sort of feels high, but also not high. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to rank, I think, my favorite movies. I just don't know because there's so many that I really, really love.
Yeah. I've just been getting used to ranking stuff when I joined Letterboxd. I never really got into that, like, giving stars or anything. So it's all kind of, like, fresh to a degree for me. And I'm comfortable rating, you know, movies I see on a day-to-day basis or thing. But, like, going back to try and see, like, favorite ever, that's, like, so hard. So I just have a list of favorite movies out of order.
Just
alphabetical. Yeah, so for now, that's how I have it. Because it's just like trying to, you know, Sophie Choice, like, which kid do you love more?
Well, what's nice about using Letterboxd, this is not a plug for Letterboxd, but even though I do love it, is that if you do log or track or diary everything you watch, you can see everything there. So I just go to my, you know, once a year or whatever, I update my list of 100 favorite movies, and whatever number 100 is, I just look at all the movies I've seen in the last year and be like, do I like this more than whatever it is? And if the answer is yes, then I just figure out where on the list it would fall. You know what I mean? And
okay.
So, but then also, like, there's a lot of movies on that list that I don't know where they actually should fall. Because I don't know. I really don't know.
Oh, good move. He just threw a shoe?
No, I think he threw, like, a statue.
Okay. Oh, taking him out. You're beating up a guy twice your age.
That's fine. Is he twice your age? He is old. Dennis Hopper. Everybody just wants to kill Laura Flynn Boyle in this movie. Although, a woman has not been attacked yet. So, like,
I know, yeah.
We can't cross that off.
Not gonna win me the game.
This is what's crazy. 6 minutes in, I won bingo. Since then, I've gotten 3 squares.
Yeah. This is not a long-lasting bingo movie. Looking Glass, on the other hand. I mean, I knew watching that's gonna be a great bingo game when we get to it.
I was thinking, you know, when we were trying to plan out what we're going to watch today, if we should do one that we've seen in the last year or so. Like, I would kind of like to, but I feel like...
Like Mom and Dad?
You know, Mom and Dad or Looking Glass or Inconceivable or, you know, Army of One or whatever. Like, these movies that we either really like or have fresh in our minds. But at the same time, I'd rather sort of rewatch something like this that I haven't seen in a couple of years. And
yeah, because I haven't watched this since we watched it for the initial run.
Cage always out of gas. He says, the fucking story of my life. Every car he gets in doesn't have gas.
That's another, like, Twilight Zone edge to it, too. Like,
yep.
He doesn't get along with technology or some comment there.
Medicine bow.
Yeah, man, because they're in, like, the Great Northwest. Like, there's just space.
The final frontier.
V'ger.
So this comes out in... This will be out April 12th, I believe, this episode of this podcast.
Okay.
So a little over a week ago, go back and check out Third Time's a Charm, Episode 2, Jaws
3D.
The third dimension
is terror.
What's the May Third Time's a Charm? What's coming up in a couple weeks?
Let me think. It is... I believe it's Rocky 3.
Oh, nice.
So get ready.
That's what Kyle and Brian at
the Eye Hoffman. Of the Tiger. That's right, yeah. So the Hoff boys will be on that episode.
Did they tell your people to stay uncool 3 times?
No, we don't do it like that on my show. They listen to me read for 45 minutes. From the Rocky 3 novelization.
Rocky 3 is still a movie that I've only seen once.
Oh, to remedy that.
You watched it with me the one time I watched it.
That's right, during the Rocky Marathon, which we discuss again.
Because they were both there, too.
That's right.
Different part of the theater.
That's been coming
up a lot.
That was
the first time I met them.
Oh, wow, that's right. And I think that they were they just talking about doing a show at that point? I don't remember. I think so, right?
Well, so this... No, that definitely, because that was January of last year, right?
Yeah.
And their show started... Their first episode was March 1st last year.
Okay, cool. So it must have been all at the same moment there.
Because I think it might have been even, like, you had friends who, like, wanted to do a show, and you're like, oh, they're actually going to be there today. You can meet them.
Oh, yeah, that's how it went down. That's
probably.
Right, yeah. And I'll be back there. Well, this will have, as of now, at the time this airs, I will have been to my back-to-back-to-back to the future marathon. So that'll be more fun. That's only 3 movies. But it's 3 of the same movie, so, you know.
I saw the first one in a theater, in Draft House Theater a couple years ago when I first moved down to Austin, because my sister had never seen either of them.
Oh, man. Yeah, they're all going to be in 35mm. I'm psyched for that. I've seen them. I saw them all in their initial run. Like, when I was a little kid, Back to the Future Part 1, I remember vivid when I was like 6, I guess.
Yep.
I remember watching it, and I remember them cursing, like saying shit and stuff in it, and looking at my mom and being like, is this okay? I can watch this?
And so we went back to our house that we were renting, and we watched the second one. I was like, oh, the second one's great. I feel like if you watch 1 and 2 together, 2 is awesome. If you watch them, like, separate, you're like, oh, I don't like 2
as
much.
That's why I don't like 2, because it took so long to come out, and when it did, it was just such a disappointment. I like, part of the premise I really do like, though, is the second half of the movie, where he goes back into the first movie,
yeah,
and he's, like, running.
That.
That's the best part. That's, I feel like that should have been the whole movie. And I feel like there's been rumors, there's hints about that might be partially what the new Bill and Ted is like. They go back into, like, the first 2 movies and,
that's
like,
awesome.
Run around. But, you know, ever since, like, a couple, like 10 or 15 years ago or some, 10 years ago at least, I really started getting back into Westerns, and now I love Back to the Future 3. I think it's beautifully shot. It's a nice sort of reversal of the very first movie.
That's not season 1. Is that season 1, or is that going to be in season
2?
No, season?
That's season 2, because that's the sci-fi season.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be on season 2.
Am I in that episode, or I'm not in that episode?
I'm not sure. I have to check out the notes. I think it's Dan Colone. Because him and I have had this long-standing Back to the Future discussion. Like, it's still going.
Are you doing Die Hard?
We're going to get to Die Hard. I'm not sure if that's going to be season 4, or is going to be the action season, or the superhero season.
I don't know if I signed up for it, but I kind of hate Die Hard 3.
Yeah, I know you don't like it, but I'm not sure if you signed up for it. It does have a book, though, so I will get to books. Well, it's weird, like, not every movie in season 1 or 3 have books, but I'm trying to make book episodes priority as much as possible.
Okay, let's see here. I'm looking now Back to the Future. I don't see on this list. Oh, here it is. Yeah, just Dan. It's just Dan.
Oh, okay.
And then, what was the one we were just talking about? Oh, Die Hard. Is Die Hard on this list?
I might have moved it around a little bit. Check season 4 or on the side there. I don't know. Let me see. You're looking on a phone, so it could be a little different.
Yeah, it's difficult to find on the phone.
I will go to the spreadsheet.
Die Hard the Vengeance. Oh, Chris and Dan. Chris Mattiello?
Yeah. You can get on there, though. I mean,
nah, well,
we'll see what happens if they still want to be on.
Oh, I'm excited to do Iron Man 3 with Tobin.
Yeah, I'm excited to do the superhero movies.
With books?
Yeah, of course, with books. But no one, I mean, there's still a lot open for it, so it's not like a set season yet. But it's getting there.
Let me just see what else I might want to do. As we completely ignore Red Rock West.
Red Rock what? No. Well, I feel like people should be watching the movie, not listening to us, unfortunately. Like, oh, this is a nice little piece that Joe just posted in the Too Fast, Forever Facebook.
Oh, the runway actually exists?
If the Fast and Furious 6 runway actually existed, how would it look? And it stretches from Spain to Russia. Exactly.
That's awesome. Is Rambo a superhero movie?
No, he's action, but
this is under the superhero / comic.
Yeah, it's. I got. There's 3 or 4 extras in there at the bottom, so it's like 6 superhero movies and then maybe 3 action movies or something. I'm trying to figure out how to combine certain things because I don't.
Wait, why did I sign up for House Party 3? What is House Party 3?
It's a wedding movie? You don't remember House Party 3? It's the last one with Kid in Play, I think.
I've never seen any of them.
Oh, man, you gotta
see... Why did I sign up for that?
Dude, you gotta see the first House Party. That is a legit... If I was making a comedy movie list for you, that would legit be, like, top five comedies that, like, I grew up with that are just, like, the best... that aren't, like, Rodney Dangerfield movies, basically, because, like...
yeah, no respect around me.
Hey.
I don't know if that sounds good, but in my head, it sounds perfect.
All right, I'll tell you.
Probably, audibly, not great, but... And the bottom one, I guess, is just Mishmash taking the splash. MI3. That's the one that they did for Hawkeye.
Yeah, yeah, Mission Impossible. Oh, wait. Is she in a nightie? I don't remember this.
She's always a sex bot. Everyone from all the Twin Peaks actresses are sex bots.
She's the least... For me, anyway, and I can't believe... I mean, like, I don't want to say I don't... I find her to be the least sort of, like, seductive.
Oh, well, also, this hairdo isn't doing her no favors in this movie.
No. Something's up with that hair. I'm trying to pour a drink.
Heather Graham was just on Mark Maron's podcast a couple months ago, and she was talking about working with David Lynch and everything, and about how David Lynch got her into Transcendental Meditation and stuff.
Like, oh, cool, okay.
Just because she was, like, this really, like, anxious kid or whatever, and he's just like, you know, you should just... Whatever,
she tried to
get like a nickname for her or whatever. But she's just another one. Like, he just casts all these like beautiful young actresses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here, we'll figure out a part for you to play, and like, just, you know, be in my movie, be in my TV show.
I don't even know what's gonna happen to your character. You're just gonna be on the show.
No guest, frowny face. Lethal Weapon, Taken 3, Toxic Avenger 3, RoboCop 3, Hangover.
What is
3.
It? One of my favorite moments is when he's talking to Shelley, and he like gets his hearing back.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't believe it. I can't believe I can hear. Oh. Orphan Boyle looking great. I just never really... All the other girls on Twin Peaks, but for her, for some reason, she just felt like maybe the youngest, the most high school-y. I never really sexualized her in that as much, I guess, but...
I'm going to cross off awkward sex scene for her licking his chest hair.
Yeah, this just This took a very awkward turn. Now she's, like, nibbling on his pubes. Like, what is going on? An attractive woman finds Cage irresistible.
A woman is attacked by his chest hair.
Wait, is this a woman is just attacked, period? They just had triple spaced.
They quadruple spaced.
Triple spaced.
Yep. Shout out me and Orson Welles, Zach attack.
I mean, because it would have been, you know, they would have compromised, but we didn't actually see the deed.
Yep. They did not do the dirty corn on screen.
Yeah?
I don't have anything to say. I was trying to fill the time of a quiet movie,
we're at.
A quiet scene.
All right, we got
40 minutes left.
Okay. We're over the hump here.
If you're watching this, email us, mailbag@cageclub.me. We'll read it the next time we record these. We do these about once a month. We do, you know, two or three or four in a day. So.
Maybe we should do one where we assign... roles, like you be Cage, I'll be Dennis Hopper.
Wait, what are we doing? Not this time.
I'm just saying, like, we'll do one where we'll like act it out for the listeners since we can read the subtitles. No, you don't want to play that.
Oh God.
So, like, for instance, you know, a scene between Riley and Ben during National Treasure. Like, we'd each read one of their subtitles for a scene.
Shout out Riley from National Treasure. I told you that I was watching that movie White Girl a couple years ago, and you see his dick in
a couple
movie.
Years ago. Wait, you were telling me a couple years ago, or you watched the movie a couple years ago?
Both.
Wait, you see his Wang?
Wang.
I'm not gonna watch that movie.
It's it came out about a year and a half ago. There's this movie called White Girl, which went to Netflix. Which is just about this like privileged white girl who just starts trying to like she's like in the she like needs money and she tries to start dealing coke and stuff. Like, it's like basically just like this pretty blonde girl, like how she's above the law essentially. Like, it's sort of like a not like a satire, but like it's just like this commentary,
right?
Whatever.
Because she's pretty blonde girl getting away with it,
but she, you know, it's a whole thing like that. The movie's not great, she's good, and it's Morgan Saylor, who's also in Novitiate with my girl Margaret Qualley, who's from she's Jill Garvey on Leftovers. Anyway, she hooks up with Riley from National Treasure in that movie, and it might not be his dick. It might be a prosthetic. I don't know.
Maybe it's the same dick from Boogie Nights.
No, it's not that big.
Well, I mean, it's a couple years already. Got
maybe. Little Mark.
It's been a few years. Maybe he's
little dick, little
shrunken. All right. Yeah, I saw that it was on Netflix. Are you going to check out that new Jared Leto movie on Netflix?
No, because David Ehrlich...
It's got the curse, man.
...wrote that, as bad as it sounds, it's even worse. Like, it's just about him as an outsider in, like, Japan or whatever. Like,
yeah.
No, I'm good.
What is up, Netflix?
I just watched Mudbound, ahead of the Oscars.
Okay.
It's great.
But wasn't that in theaters?
No.
Oh.
It's a Netflix original. They might have put it... I guess they put it in theaters to qualify.
Oh, that's why. I didn't know
it's
that was...
It's a Netflix movie.
I didn't know that. I thought that was just a straight up... was in movies and then it came to Netflix.
It didn't win anything. I think it was nominated for...
That's the actress for Mary J. Blige, yeah.
She was nominated for... I think it was the first time maybe ever that an actress was nominated for an acting and a musical award.
Oh, cool.
Because she wrote a song for that movie that she performed, so she got an Oscar nomination for that. That she performed at the Oscars.
Yes.
She also got nominated for her role in that. I think it was also nominated for a screenplay. I don't remember if it was original or adapted.
This is very John Wick right here with the safe floor safe. Yeah. Any gold coins in there? That's cool. I didn't realize Mary J. Blige was the first to be nominated as an actress.
I think. Or it's either the first ever or the first in a while. You know what I mean? But, like, how many times, honestly, do you, like...
Well, I mean, like, Bette Midler, maybe, or, like, what's her name? Not Bette Midler. I'm thinking of... Barbara Streisand. Maybe Barbara... But not in the same year. Like, that's crazy. Like,
you basically have to, like, act in a movie that you also write a song for, and you have, like, both have to be good enough to be nominated. Like, it doesn't happen a ton, you know what I mean? So
I'm thinking Prince of Tides, where she was in it and the song Memories or something. Or was
Man,
it?
I never
I
saw that
know.
Movie. I read that book in high school, and
I
loved
think
it.
That's the first movie Memories was used in. That's an older song. You read Prince... I never... I just knew that it was, like, a very... At the time, it was like prestige films, and like, holy shit, like The Prince of Tides was such
a reference. We read that for a class in high school.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's got like heavy duty, like.
Crazy shit happening?
Yeah, right? Like, with the Nick Nolte character?
All I can tell you is that Nick Nolte's not in the book. I don't know.
His name isn't Nick Nolte in the novel.
Oh, I don't know what to call this guy in the book. We're just going to call him, Nick Nolte.
He won't mind. And if we ever do a movie, we'll get him to play the part.
If you could just hear me drink and swallow my seltzer water, email us, mailbag@cageclub.me.
What kind of stuff do you like to drink?
Hey, man, we got an hour 40 to kill. Connect with the audience. Connect with the crowd. Nobody really emails the mailbag@cageclub.me email. We got another person to write into Too Fast, Too Forever, which we're going to read on the... I haven't told Joe about it. But we have a new fan for Zack Attack.
Okay.
That you're going to hear the letter she wrote in if you listen to our Disaster Artist episode. We have a new guy wrote in for Too Fast, Too Forever.
Oh.
Nobody uses mailbag@cageclub.me. Like I say... Or like Joe says on every single time, I read whatever you write. So like verbatim. So I mean, if you want to send like crazy, crazy shit.
Yeah, not only that, send anything. Pictures.
Yeah, literally anything.
Files, like audio files of stuff. Like you want to read us? You want like, you know, to just speak into the computer and then send us that? Because you don't like to write?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, what the hell?
Send in fan art.
I really don't think... Yeah, fan art. We love that. I actually got some of that.
Hell yeah. Thanks again to John and Danielle over in England, or the UK. I don't know if it's England, but the UK. I think it's England. Somewhere
London.
In the UK.
Are they actually... They're not actually in London, though, right? Are they?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
London calling. So, okay, dueling British accents? Or is it time, or...?
You and me? I don't do accents.
Well, everyone's got a British accent.
They are in the United Kingdom... God, I don't know their
you
shit.
You could do like the, the Cockney one, like the Mary Poppins. Hello, Mary Poppins. Oh, Jim Chimmery. That one, people seem to hate that one.
I'm gonna say you're usually pretty good with accents. That one was terrible.
Because it's like supposed to be terrible, right? Like it's a mocking accent. I feel like that Cockney mocking one. But I like
mocking?
I like the Jason Statham British accent, because it's just like, you know, talking like this and stuff.
Yeah.
He's all gruff and stuff.
Yeah.
And he sleeps in a flat. So, I'm working on my Jason Statham. I haven't done like an impression in a really long time, though, on the show. I feel like, you know, Cage Club proper was where I got it all out of my system.
Well, you were doing some early in Charlize. You haven't done it in the last handful of episodes.
I haven't
there's,
really
There's a couple
been...
that you go back to in a while. You go back to David Lynch a lot.
Oh, I did that today. Yeah, I just did that. I did that on this episode, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there hasn't been a lot for me to be really animated about the Charlize movies recently.
You probably did a Woody on one of the two Woodies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we got it. Brian and I may have gotten into dueling Woodies.
When I edited that episode, I'm like, there's like 20-minute chunks where I'm not talking. Like, I wasn't dicking around. Like, I was listening. I just had literally nothing to say about that movie that I hated.
Yeah, we can't just put out, like, a 20-minute episode either.
I mean, we could. First two episodes of Winona are 20, 25 minutes. But, I mean, the first episode of Cage Club was long. But then the next couple were short.
Yeah.
Like we've said before, my big regret about Cage Club is that our Raising Arizona episode is, like, 33 minutes. Like, it's just...
Yeah. Well, when we get to it for this, like, you know, we could even go over. We can just make that like.
I don't know if we need to go over. I mean, we could.
Well, we could get it. We could get the rest of it out of our system. All right.
There's an overreaction. We already have freaks out.
Fuck Mexico.
No, I got nothing.
Yeah, I am locked on this page. Like, there's nothing coming through.
It's a miracle that I won so quickly because I have.
Is that the fastest win? Because I remember winning pretty quickly last time with Brian. Everyone, but that was like 14 to 15 minutes.
I don't think we've ever had a single digit minutes win.
Looks like he's got two silver nipples poking through his coat. You know, with those like clamp things. I don't know, but they look like something you'd clamp on. There's another cowboy riding a.
Well, that's what he threw at people, didn't he? Or no, maybe not. I don't know.
Even this music sounds a little Lynchy.
Oh, absolutely. A little Angelo. Badalamenti. That was a bad accent.
Yeah, he's got the bad accent in the movie, not Cage. Oh, that's amazing. His actual wanted poster of them. So he's a marshal?
Who, Dennis Hopper?
Or is he just a hitman?
He's a hitman.
Okay, and he's chasing them too?
I think what happened, bounty? We really haven't been paying attention. Cage was hired to kill Arthur and Boyle. He didn't.
Right.
The husband called the house. She answered.
Yeah.
He then paid Dennis Hopper to kill Arthur and Boyle. Oh. And also, I think, probably to kill Cage too.
Okay, and now Hopper wants to kill everybody.
But now that he knows that there's a bounty... I think he wants to sort of get the upper hand and, like, sort of turn her in, get the bounty.
No, there's money somewhere, right? It's like they hid...
But it's only like a couple $1,000s. I think there's... I don't know.
But they can't kill them yet. They have to get the money. That's why they go to the graveyard, right? We'll find out. I just remember this car ride being funny when we first watched it. Is it still... Maybe it was just the idea of the three of them in the car together going on a little drive. Nice. Isn't that his favorite curse? Horseshit? I think he said that on Behind the Actor Studio. And he says that word a lot. He's good at cursing with horseshit.
I'm trying to see where these last two movies I have on my Cage list. Where's Bangkok? Bangkok low. Move up a little bit. I had Bangkok at like 50.
Oh, I haven't. I only did that with
Keanu.
No, I haven't even done it with Keanu. Just with Soderbergh and Charlize so far.
Bangkok, and I have Godzilla. 58. I gotta move it up. Not a ton. I gotta move it up.
I'm almost done with the Showa era of Godzilla, so that's good.
And then where's Red Rock? Red Rock West 26. That feels right.
Let's see here.
That feels... That sounds...
Oh, there is a jail, but Cage isn't in it.
Because I think if Cage got... Well, I also could see, like, if he gets arrested or whatever, it, you know... That's sort of the end of the movie, but also, you know, he could get out or something, I don't know.
Let's see what list. I have my Marvel movie list, I have my Godzilla movie list, Cinemakers, Third Time's a Charm list, Theron list, 2017 ranks, Star Wars, favorite movies. This list didn't go very, very far. Movies inspired by O.J., Lost Highway, The Chase, and O.J. Made in America. I don't know why I made that list.
Who knows? Oh, here's the husband in jail. Yeah, who did the score for this movie? Because it does sound like Angelo Badalamenti, or sounds like Twin Peaksy.
Yeah, this says specifically through Cage in Jail.
William Olvis was the composer.
Oh.
Who did... Whoa, that's weird. So he did two movies called Kill Me Again and Frame, which I don't know, but he also did a movie called In Sickness and in Health. Shout out to Kara O'Regan's other podcast. Kara Gail O'Regan.
Damn.
Dennis Hopper never wanted to, like, be anything other than himself.
He's not very subtle. Let's just say that.
No, absolutely not.
Nice little diversion. Set a little house on fire.
One of the most popular Letterboxers is this high school girl named Katie. Okay. Who has like 13,000 followers or something on Letterboxd. And she just watched, as I'm just looking at Red Rock West, she just watched and loved Moonstruck. So,
oh, good.
Shout out to...
I've been noticing a lot of people on my Letterboxd been watching Moonstruck recently.
I wonder why. Because last year was a 30-year anniversary. It's not like this year's a 30-year anniversary. You know, not that people would actually do that, you know, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
I lost my hand. I lost my bride.
Can't see anymore.
Alright, so we got about half an hour left in this movie.
Oh boy.
Dennis Hopper trying whatever he can to sort of get the upper hand here. This feels also a little sort of end of Wild at Heart-y. Like, once they get out to where they wind up, like in Big Tuna, mm-hmm. It sort of feels like this kind of town, right? Like, it kind of feels like this.
Yeah.
Bunch of, not like, there's definitely less weirdos here than there are in Wild at Heart, but it's this town where, like, you can sort of manipulate the cops, and you're sort of, like, alone out there, and there's Dennis Hopper doing weird things, and is Dennis Hopper in Wild at Heart?
No.
You sure?
No.
You're not sure?
No, it's not him. No, because we get Bobby Peru.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking, Willem Dafoe, yeah.
We get Willem, and then we also get, that other guy coming after him. That isn't Dennis Hopper, but remember she hires the other... The mom hires the other guy.
You're talking about the old guy?
No.
What's his name?
No, not the guy.
Not Harry Dean Stanton.
No, not Harry Dean Stanton, but she hires that other guy. Remember, he's in like that... He looks more like a lounge lizard, and he's also going after him. She hires like two guys to go find her daughter.
Yeah. Is that the first guy she hires, and then Bobby Peru is the second?
I don't even think she hires Bobby. They just run into him.
Oh.
The first one is Harry Dean Stanton, and then she sends the other guy after. Here, I'll look it up. Oh, make the train.
This is a shout-out to first Too Fast, or Fast and Furious.
Oh, that's right, the train dodge. Also, you know, Back to the Future 3, there's a train involved with the car, and my most recent favorite take on that whole train dodge is in Logan.
Oh, Marcelo Santos.
Yeah. in Logan, where they're trying to beat the... First, he can't get through his own... He can't crash through his own fence. He takes, like, part of the fence with his car, yeah. And then he tries to outrun the train, but the train, like, cracks the back end of his car and stuff. So...
Oh, and then Bob Ray Lemon.
That's it.
That's one. But then there's also Marcelo Santos.
Yeah, yeah. Santos, I think, is who I was thinking of.
He's the main guy.
Could have been Hopper. That was nuts.
I love on IMDb Cheryl Lee's picture. Just like the black and white, just like makes her look like an old timey actress. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What I'm saying is, you should be watching way more David Lynch than you are. Even if you're watching a lot, watch more. Unless you don't want nightmares, then maybe don't.
I never really got nightmares from his stuff, but it's definitely scary. Like, it's what scares me.
It's just unsettling.
Yeah, that's it. It's just like, why, like, trying to figure out why people are acting this way and that people could act this weird or this way in general at all, like, kind of freaks me out. I don't want to run into people in his movies, you know? I would love to run into Good Coop or, you know, Dougie Jones or, you know, there's characters of his that are good people and stuff, you know, Hawk.
The Good Witch.
But for the most part, I don't want to, like, stroll through a David Lynch town and talk to anybody who lives there.
I would be okay meeting just about anybody from Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks is a bit of a rare exception. All of his other work is, like, way more, like, out of control, I feel.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
Sailor and Lulu would be okay, but pretty much everybody else from that movie would be terrifying.
I've still not seen Inland Empire. That's the only one I haven't seen yet.
I've only seen that once. I want to watch it, but it's like 3 hours and 15 minutes. Like, it's like a marathon of a movie.
I liked Lost Highway. Thought that was interesting.
That's Jordan's maybe favorite movie of all time, or one of them.
Oh, this was the car ride. I remember the first time watching this movie, just, like, for some reason, loving this moment, cracking up at it.
This reminds me a little bit, sort of weirdly, of that Act of Vengeance, that Charles Bronson Keanu movie, where Keanu's a hitman and he's in the back seat of the car.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Remember? Going way back.
Yeah.
Labor disputes.
Speaking of Death Wish.
Ooh, Dennis Hopper just gave a look like he would have been a great Joker at one point. He was King Koopa, based it on Donald Trump, too.
Wow.
You've seen that movie, right?
Yeah, once.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm good.
Saw it in theaters. Alone. Like, wow. My parents and I went to the movies, they saw one movie and I saw that.
Feels right. You were what, like 13, 14?
Yeah. And I remember telling some friends about it, and my friend Susan was like, I would have gone into movies with you. I was like, before I would call up girls and ask them to go see movies, I was like, you would have? I felt so dumb. But then again, if I had taken someone to see that movie, they never would have wanted to go see anything else.
Probably for the best. I'm just excited about this maybe crazy Joker movie that we're going to get with Joaquin Phoenix, mm-hmm. where, like, it sounds so bad that it might be amazing.
Well, it sounds like they're going to do the Killing Joke, which they just released as a cartoon.
Yep.
So, it'd be a little redundant, and I don't think it's
comic. I don't think there's a ton of crossover between people who watch the cartoons and people who watch
No,
the
not actual. Necessarily, but it is an R-rated cartoon, so they did, you know, try to make it more for adults, and it's... Yeah, I don't particularly like the Killing Joke so much. I prefer my Joker without an origin. Like, that's why I love him in Dark Knight so much, because he just keeps lying about how, you know, he came to be and stuff.
And how, like, he got these scars.
Yeah, yeah. But I know how you're gonna get these. Like, that's so... Oh, man. I really enjoy that characterization of him. I don't like to think of him as a guy who fell into a vat of, like, chemicals and, like...
And got twisted.
Yeah, and got all twisted and damaged.
Yeah. I think you have to strike for any movie, especially... I think it's difficult for established characters like that who have existed for decades.
Yeah.
Like, where do you strike the balance? How do you strike the balance between intentionally... obfuscating or, like, whatever, a backstory that people know, and just making him a mystery, as opposed to, like, this is actually what happened to him in the comics, and this is what people are going to want. Because, like, you're never going to make everybody happy, so it's like, would you rather have the diehards be happy, or would you rather have the people just seeing the movie be happy?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I would almost rather them come up with a new origin. Don't take anything that's been done in the comics. Don't do anything from the movies. Like, let's come up with something fresh, because you could become the Joker in so many ways. Like, I don't feel like just because you... like, it's the type of person you are underneath, you know? And it takes an event to unleash that. So, like, you know, in the first Batman movie, Jack Napier was a bad dude already. He was a gangster. He was a sadist. He was all these things. And then he fell into a vat of chemicals, and that was the psychic break, you know, like, he lost his mind. But he was already a terrible person, so, like, I feel like that's what's more interesting, is, like, taking a good guy and showing that underneath there was always these evil sort of ambitions or intentions, or there was this ability for a normal guy to, like, become insane and, you know, that feared and that much of a threat. So, I don't know. It doesn't need to be supernatural. It doesn't need to be, you know, crazy comic book origin story.
Right.
It could just be like he comes home one day. It could be like a Death Wish thing, but instead of becoming a vigilante for good, he becomes like this crazy criminal.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's tough because, you know, Batman is so closely tied now to his origin, and, like, a fresh thing would be for it to be like Batman isn't responsible or involved in any way. Like, the Joker formed completely on his own somehow.
I thought you were saying, like, change Batman's origin story and, like, have, like, because, you know, like, in Smallville, like, the TV show, like, you know, his parents were both alive, like, in literally every other iteration ever, Jonathan Kent's never been alive. Like, what if you did a Batman where, like, the Waynes are still alive? Like, how do you become Batman if your parents aren't dead? You don't have the motivation.
Yeah, I don't know if you do. That's weird. They did a alternate story where Bruce and his mom die and his dad becomes Batman anyway. You know,
well, cool. So Thomas Wayne.
So it's almost like, I think what happened was Bruce died, the mom became the Joker, and the dad became Batman.
Whoa, what?
So. I think it's a bit of a misstep.
What's that from?
It's called Flashpoint. It's like
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a alternate universe tale, I guess.
Huh, okay.
Thomas Wayne.
Speaking
Batman.
Of Joker and Suicide Squad, one of the newest podcasts on our network, Real Bad, which has existed since August, just joined our network on March 1st, they did Suicide Squad. And what was interesting to me is that on that show, they always try to fix movies, and, like, how would you fix it? Would you have to burn it all down? Whatever. Basically, what I think, well, definitely what I think about that movie, and I think what you maybe agree with, but maybe not, I think it should have been a Joker and Harley movie with Deadshot.
That would have been cool.
But they basically, the way that they fix it is, like, get rid of the Joker altogether. I was like, no, like, that's the only thing that works.
See, I kind of agree with them, because anytime you put the Joker as the bad guy, it's got to be Batman chasing him, in my opinion. Because it's like, the Joker's loose, who do you call? Batman. Like, you're not going to call the Suicide Squad because the Joker's on the loose.
But Joker's not the bad guy, though, in this movie.
Right. I like the way he's in it, because you're right, he's just trying to rescue Harley, basically, the whole movie. For me, the big misstep for Suicide Squad is the actual mission itself. Like, I'm okay with getting all these colorful characters together to do something, but it has to be an actual mission that is, like, interesting. Like, it just fell back onto another one of those, like, you should just call Superman or something.
That's what was funny, was that they pointed this out on Real Bad, shout out Real Bad again, is that the point of Suicide Squad is to get a team together so that if something like Superman is, like, incredibly powerful and goes evil, you have this group that's going to be able to stop them, right? And then what happens in the movie is that Sorceress goes evil, and they can't stop Sorceress. Like, they're there. Like, they basically are created to stop this thing that, like, they sort of cause, and then they just, like, can't stop. It's like, well,
I feel like they needed to steal something or stop something way less powerful, ultimately, and more of them needed to die. They needed to show how much more expendable they were, that it was an actual suicide mission, and Deadshot should have lost an eye. because he loses an eye on the Arrow TV show, and he's fucking awesome, and then they wrote him out of the show because they wanted to make Suicide Squad. Like, the Suicide Squad were in season 2 of Arrow, and they're
really
amazing. They went on some awesome, they went on at least 2 awesome missions, and then there was a mandate handed down that says these characters are off limits now because we're making the movie. The last appearance, when they actually had the someone do a voice of Harley Quinn from behind, like, a cell door, going like, can I come along this time? Like, doing the whole, so, like, they were going to have Harley Quinn, they were going to have Killer Croc, like, everybody, and then it was like, you can't use them anymore on TV, because we're making
but
a movie out
so
of them.
That's so dumb, because, like, it's a different universe.
I know. And they're doing it with The Flash, like, they're not saying The Flash can't be on TV and have a movie at the same time.
Ugh.
And the same thing happened, I think, for a while with Deathstroke. They were going to do that Deathstroke Batman movie, and he finally shows up in the post-credit scenes of Justice League. But he was a very big part of Arrow, and he was great on that show. And then they wrote him off for, like, 3 seasons because they weren't sure what they were going to do with him.
So dumb.
It's too bad.
At least that's dumb in a different way than DC is usually dumb. Like, that's just, like, a poor plan. Like, that's just, like, a... Why? Like, why would you, like, sacrifice one property for another? Like,
yeah,
people aren't going to be confused. Like, there's not... I mean, there's... Like, the people who watch the Arrow TV show are also going to see these movies, but, like,
yeah,
they're not going to be like, hey, this isn't my Suicide Squad.
Like, and it's not like the Marvel, where the Marvel TV stuff has specifically set up and said, like, if they're in the movie, they're, you know, they're not going to be on the show, but it's all the same universe. So, like, technically... There can't be a Daredevil movie, and you can't, like, recast him. You know what I'm saying? You got to use this Daredevil, I feel. Or, like, you got to use this Jessica Jones, like, if you're going to bring him into the films.
Right.
Whereas
well,
with
that
DC...
the same universe? I mean, because S.H.I.E.L.D. is the same universe,
I mean,
obviously.
Technically, it's all the same... There are 2 different production houses.
Right.
But technically, it's the same Marvel MCU.
Okay.
I believe so, if I'm not mistaken. Unless they did something on S.H.I.E.L.D. where it turned out like they were in an alternate Earth, but
no,
I don't know.
No, S.H.I.E.L.D. is the same thing. But S.H.I.E.L.D.'s different, though. S.H.I.E.L.D. is like, because, I mean, Clark Gregg, like the mm-hmm. the Coulson character, is a literal carryover crossover. Then they did the, like, that episode of, like, the Thor cleanup from, like...
Yeah,
the, the Avengers cleanup, or the Captain America, whatever. No, Avengers 2, the Ultron cleanup. They, like, that was a big storyline or whatever. This is the Lucy of this world.
Oh, my gosh. You know who he kind of looks like?
Andy?
No. I was thinking of the evil kid from Twin Peaks in the Return. What was his name?
Whoa, Dennis Hopper just got impaled.
Nice. What's his name's daughter? Daughter. What's his name's? What's her name's?
Talking about Caleb Landry Jones? No.
No. Audrey's son. The guy who plays Audrey's son?
I don't remember. Not Hulk Hand.
Let me see. He's like the Mr. C's son. Audrey and Mr. C had that guy that, you know, he like beats the shit out of his grandma for the money and everything.
Yeah, I don't remember. I feel like between the two of us, we remember most things, but
something
it's rare
Horn.
That one of us... It's rare that we both remember the same thing.
Was it Roger Horn?
I don't know. You're not talking about Wally Brando.
No. Which I love, though. Hello, Wally.
Laura Flynn Boyle saving Cage's life.
Oh, man, I forgot there's like 300 characters on this season.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people. It would probably be easier to Google Audrey Horn's son. Find out who you're talking about. This is great radio, one of us looking something up on IMDb, and me trying to make sense of the movie I haven't really been watching.
Richard. Richard Horn.
Can I see him?
Yeah. Evil Richard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Mr.
Yeah,
C
yeah,
tells
yeah,
him to go,
yeah,
like, stand
yeah.
on a rock, and then he, like, flashes out of existence.
Like, he's such a minor character, though.
No way! I thought he was one of the biggest new characters. He's one of the most reoccurring new ones.
Is he?
Yeah. He's, as far as, like, new characters go, I feel like he has the most screen time.
Couldn't tell you. I like your new phone, though. No longer cracked screen?
No, man, you knew this. This from last time.
Really?
Yeah. I've had this for a while now.
She's not very observant.
Watch and observe.
Observe and report?
That's it. Yeah. You seen that one?
I have seen that one.
Okay.
Not in a while. I should probably rewatch that, but...
The first time I saw it, I really didn't like it. I was like, whoa, this is like an evil movie. But the second time I saw it, I got it, and I thought it was hilarious. But there's some things the first time around where I was like, I don't know if I should be even laughing at this or even keep watching this movie.
That's really dark. It's really dark. It's like Taxi Driver dark.
It's super duper dark, but it's way more of a comedy, you know? I feel like it's okay to laugh watching that movie.
Will these two get away? Find out next time on Cage Club Revisited.
Oh man, imagine Hobo Cage just riding the rails.
I would love it.
He's finally getting out of that damn town.
Here we go. They made it.
Did you ever see that show with that artist, is it John Cho? Who was, I think he became really famous after he painted, like, the mural at Facebook and asked for, like, stock instead of money, and now he became, like, a millionaire off of Facebook or something. But, like, he had a show for a while where he was just riding the rails.
Huh.
It was really, really interesting. I think it's called Thumbs Up or something. I don't know. Let me look that up.
Oh no, Cage. Stabbed in the back once again. At least she's consistent to her character. She's an outlaw. She's a bad guy. She doesn't care. Cage has saved her time and again for this movie. And yet, she's going to hold him up, stick him up, threaten to kill him, maybe kill him, wants the money, wants to get away, wants a clean start, doesn't want to be known. Damn it, Laura Flynn Boyle.
Dave Cho, thumbs up.
Yeah, because John Cho is either Harold or Kumar.
Yeah, he's Sulu now.
And also in Columbus, which is great.
Oh, okay, so it's on Vice. You could also watch it all on Vice. How to Hitchhike Across America Season 1 is on Vice. But his actual, the first show was Thumbs Up.
What's his name? Dave Cho?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Thumbs Up Season 1, Part 1 of 5. And yeah, like... That's him up here. Him and like his cousin, they just hop on the railways and just go.
Like hobo style? Or like actually?
Yeah, no, like straight up hobo. Like they're not like homeless people up by any, like he's an actual like established artist and everything. So like they got money and stuff, but it's just like for the experience and to like explore America.
Oh, I remember this. He empties the money out of the bag.
Yeah.
Damn it, Laura Flynn. Laura Mike Flynn Boyle.
Especially since his name is Mike in the movie.
There it all goes. You know, it would almost be true to her character for her to dive out here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just go get it.
Mm-hmm. But he pushes her. Violence towards women.
Woman is attacked.
Woman is attacked. Incredible. Well, now she could, like, seriously just go walk back and get it.
Maybe that's her favorite curse, because she just said it a couple times.
Here come the fuzz.
Man, I have 9 squares plus the free space.
Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So, including free space, I have 10.
Yeah, me too. That was a tough game.
Wow.
Bingo.
Look at that.
Man, oh man.
It's all tied up. It's all tied up.
This was tough.
Good flick, though. Really like Red Rock West. Like it as this sleepy, modern, western, neo-noir, whatever
yep.
thing it is.
Yep. Didn't talk a
and
lot
oh,
about
Oh, look, look.
Movie.
He ain't hungry no more.
Yeah.
Anytime anyone keeps a little bit of the cash at the end of the movie.
I love it.
Finally. Adios,
Red Rock.
See, that was the thing. He's trying to get out of town on a car. He needed to get in a train. Then
not
he could get
gas.
Out.
Yeah, you need coal power or steam power. You don't need gasoline powered.
There's maybe, what, like five people in this movie? I love that about it.
Yeah, of note, there's the husband, there's Laura Flynn Boyle, there's Cage, and Dennis Hopper, and there's a sheriff.
Oh, I was going to say there's the warden from Logan Lucky, the truck driver. This is his song. This is the song. 1,000 Miles from Nowhere.
There we go.
So the Dwight Yoakam song.
Over the closing credits. Yeah, including all the, like, the even like the small parts in there, there's probably only, like 20 people, so like...
Nice.
Most of them are of no significance, really, so...
That's a beautiful shot. You think that was a one and done? Just get on the train and I'm going to watch it go? Would have been a pain in the ass to roll that train all the way back and reset just for this shot.
Well, you figure probably there's going to be like a bunch of trains there or whatever, you know, one a day or whatever, a couple times a day, so you probably just, if you don't get it this time, you just wait for the next time.
Oh, you don't think they, like, locked off this track for the couple hours and ran the train back and forth a few times?
I honestly don't know.
Okay. Things I think about over the closing shot. Because it just looks like it's going incredibly slow around that corner as if to keep it in shot long enough. But... I like how it doesn't fade to black immediately.
Yeah, I guess maybe once the train goes away. Still see another one or two cars from the train before it goes to the tunnel.
Oh, look at that. Bernardo Rocky.
All lowercase Chris. Rocky?
Is Harrison Ford one of the Carpenters? You know he was a carpenter, right?
In the band The Carpenters?
No. He was an actual, like, he used to build sets. He was a carpenter. And... He was like, that's how he got cast in Star... Well, that's how he got to read for Star Wars. He was hanging around building sets and stuff.
Now fades to black.
And George Lucas, like, got to know him and put him in American Graffiti. And then he was building sets for Star Wars, I think, or something. And he was always around, so he would be someone that the actors would read against.
Huh.
Because he was always there.
Sure.
And eventually, Lucas, like, started taking him seriously and considering him as part of the actual production.
You know who else was a carpenter?
Jesus.
There you go. Mike, let me tell you about Jesus Christ.
Do you have another hour and a half?
Here's where we finally got to. This is the real reason for both the season and also for Cage Club Revisited.
Church of Latter-day Saints? Is that where we're at? It's funny, me and Brian Rodriguez from P.S. I Love Hoffman have this thing about The Last Temptation of Christ, about how Harvey Keitel is cast as Judas, and he's basically, like, in that movie, he's like, damn it, Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you, you son of a bitch? Like, he's just talking like a New Yorker at him. He's like, can't you make, like, a nice desk? Why do you always have to make, like, a crucifix? You moron. Like, it's definitely an interesting take. And Bobby Peru as Jesus Christ.
Really?
Yeah, Willem Dafoe in Last Temptation is Jesus. He's amazing. I really... That's one of Scorsese's, like, weirdest movies by far.
Wow, okay.
Like, it gets really sort of metaphysical and, like,
written
trippy.
By John R. Cash, performed by Johnny Cash.
Oh, must have... I wonder if...
Wrote in a different name?
You get double pay if you... have a different name?
No, probably not, because Toby Keith would have done it differently, too.
Dwight Yoakam, too.
Anyway, as we wrap up this episode of Cage Club Revisited, sorry to cut off your story about Last Temptation of Christ.
Oh, that was the end of it. It's all good.
Email us, mailbag at cageclub.me. Did you make it all the way to the end here? Did you actually watch the movie? Did you not? Just let us know. Facebook.com/CageClub, @CageClubPod on Twitter. Oh, thanking Mom and Dad. Shout out Mom and Dad.
Nice.
New Cage Club movie.
Or as it's known in Japan,
Bad Daddy or something.
But isn't it Bad Daddy?
What did I want to say?
Go to cageclub.me/shows.
Check out everything. Go to cageclub.me and find our bingo cards. Play along Cage Club Bingo. Cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, @CageClubPod on Twitter. And last but not least, email us. mailbag@cageclub.me. In 2 weeks we will be back. Mike, what's the next one we're going to do? We have two left.
I don't know. What are we going to do next? Not sure. It's going to be a mystery.
No, we gotta let them know because they're gonna record it. They're gonna want to watch
it. Okay, just in case it's the last one we do today, it's gonna be Stolen.
Stolen from 2012-ish, I think. So go watch that. Probably on Netflix.
Most likely.
Bye.